Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, a show that features the people, stories, and events of Central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts today, Jim Werbel, and I'm here with my co-host, Tom Beal. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Jim. Well, we have a special show today because we are celebrating KHOI's birthday. KHOI has been broadcasting for 3 years as of this month. And to celebrate KHOI's birthday, we have two events planned for Sunday, August 23rd. At 3 p.m., Nicholas Johnson, a former FCC member, that stands for Federal Communications Commission, will be speaking on the future of radio. And that will take place at the First United Methodist Church on Kellogg Street in downtown Ames. Everyone is welcome to attend. And after the talk by Nicholas Johnson, there will be a KHOI birthday party. That will start at 4:30 p.m. at Bar La Tosca, a wonderful new restaurant on Main Street in Ames. The event is also open to the public, and we would love to see you there. There will be food and beverages and music and lots of good times.
Boy, both of those events sound really wonderful, Tom, the talk and the party. You can find information on both of them on the KHOI website. Tom, you've been involved with KHOI for quite a while. Does it really seem like 3 years since KHOI came on the air?
No, the time has passed by so quickly, and so much has happened since the station began broadcasting. I'm so proud of what has been accomplished. When we started, we were operating in a little tent in the back of this building, and now we have this beautiful studio, which we'll hear more about later, and we have some wonderful volunteers who produce programs of all kinds. So it's been a great experience, and I've enjoyed being a part of it. It really did take a community to get this station running, to get to where we are now.
That's what I've been told, Tom. It takes a lot of people. And today's show is about the history of the station and the people who made it possible for you to hear the great selection of shows now being broadcast throughout Central Iowa by KHOI. This station is a valuable community resource, and I, for one who came late to the production team, want to know how it all got started.
Well, to help us tell the story, we'll be hearing from many of the people who have been involved in the building of KHOI. Some are here in the studio with us. We have Ursula Rudenberg, now the station manager, and someone who's been involved with KHOI since the inception.
Hello, Jim, and hello, Tom, and thank you for inviting me this morning to be part of the celebration. Really, the whole month of August is our kind of slow-motion birthday party. KHOI had a deadline to go on the air on August 15th, 2012, and I think we literally went on the air around the maybe 1st or 2nd of August, and then we went off again and on again.
The 7th.
Okay.
Cut it pretty close, and we did a little experimenting at the beginning.
That's right.
And I remember jokingly suggesting we might have to put our antenna on a balloon in order to make that August 15th deadline.
But we did make it. I think we actually made it with 2 days or 3 days to spare. I think August 12th was the actual day that we wrote to the FCC and said, we are commencing regular broadcasting.
It was an exciting time.
It's very exciting.
Well, Joe Lynch, who's president of the board and who also has done a lot of other work with the studio, will be with us a little later this morning.
We also have Kay Puttick with us. Hello, Kay. She is the producer and reporter with KHOI's morning show called Local Talk, the show, and also a board member. Kay was involved with the pre-broadcast days of the station and saw history as it happened.
Yep.
Yeah, those were early exciting days.
a lot of chaos in the system.
Well, a lot of chaos, but it was inspiring. And, we hardly knew what community radio was. We were learning and we were trying to teach other people. We hope to see each of you at the birthday party on Sunday, August the 23rd at 4:30 p.m. at La Tosca, the new restaurant on Main Street. They're sort of throwing the party for us, you could say.
And it'll be free.
Right. Oh, yeah, of course. Yes. And maybe we should get things started by singing Happy Birthday to KHOI.
Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, dear Campus Radio. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Yes, and many more.
Well, KHOI began broadcasting in August of 2012. So that's why we're celebrating our third birthday this month. But the work to create KHOI began long before we went on the air. We're going to start by hearing about the contributions of numerous people who worked to get KHOI radio to be broadcast ready. We can call this the gestation period. This work started in 2007 and lasted for more than 5 years.
Tom, I thought gestation was supposed to be 9 months. 5 years is a long time.
Hey, this is a radio station, not a child.
Why did it last so long?
Well, that's what we're going to hear other people explain. There's much involved in getting a radio station on the air. I want to start by asking Ursula, our station manager, for some thoughts about the station. Ursula, whose idea was it to start KHOI as a community radio station?
Well, like all great ideas, it started in more than one place. And I would say technically, whose idea to start the station was both mine and our official founder, a gentleman named Roger Parmenter, who actually was living in Fort Collins, Colorado, and ended up coming to Ames and bringing this idea with him and to build the station. It's a very, very rare opportunity to be able to apply for a radio license these days, and the opportunity occurred in 2007. And it really is the only time in our lifetime that we'll witness such a thing. So it's really quite miraculous and exceptional that we were able to obtain really what was the last available frequency in our area for non-commercial radio. Roger has moved back to Colorado since then. He seems to have just come here to bring a station to Ames and to central Iowa and then to go back. But he was here recently again to visit, and while he was here, I sat down with him and recorded with him, you know, where he was coming from, why exactly he did this. I was curious, and we talked a little bit about our mutual beginnings for the station. Here's Roger.
I worked for Hewlett-Packard right from almost the beginning of getting out of college. I got a degree in electrical engineering. And at that point in time, a lot of electrical engineering was dealing with microwave signals and things of that nature.
So you're a man who likes technology.
Yes. Uh-huh. I mean, I was 34 years of working for Hewlett-Packard. I started when I was 25. You know, so this got to be just really neat. So I had a really nice career at Hewlett-Packard. But in 2001... I got laid off. So then what do you do next? You've had this long career, and Fort Collins is a small town in a way. It's got the county seat. It's got the university. But there aren't really a lot of places for the kind of knowledge and stuff that I had to do anything. But then I learned about the possibility that the federal government was going to open this radio spectrum up again. And they hadn't done that for a long, long time. And so I thought, well, that could be an interesting opportunity.
You saw this as the FCC's invitation to get involved with a technological project.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's really what it was.
That is the kind of information that a lot of people would hear and not necessarily digest.
Right.
And it's interesting that you heard that and made such a really momentous decision. Why were you able to grasp the meaning of that?
Well, you know, I had had a career of working with these like ITT and other companies. And I mean, I knew that side of the business in a way. Yeah. And there was a community radio station in Fort Collins. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the guys I had worked with at HP was on the strong on the technical side. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got interested in what he was doing and what they were doing and everything. But that town already has a community radio. So you're not going to be able to do an application from there. Then, well, my wife said, we have this daughter and their family that live over in Boone, Iowa. So maybe we could look at what the possibilities are in Iowa.
Here.
Yeah, we had grandchildren here, and so it was working for her, and it was working, potentially working for me. When you live in a town like Fort Collins with HP being the major thing, you're constantly running into the old people that got to keep their jobs and didn't get in the layoff. And I need to probably get out of this town. And it really did work. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got into getting this station on the air. What do I have to do? What needs to be done?
It's a very consuming.
Yeah. Exactly.
Project,
and so in a way, you can end up lifting your spirits.
A project that helped you transition from one phase of your life to
another.
Your retirement years.
Yeah, really. Yeah, exactly.
And with a sense of purpose.
Mm-hmm. So I learned that you were helping people to understand what they had to do.
When it became clear that the FCC was going to open up the opportunity for people to apply for non-commercial radio licenses, a coalition was formed nationally among various media democracy groups. So it was maybe about 7 or 8 groups that are involved with community radio, and that included Pacifica Radio, where I was working. And the main goal was to let community groups know that there was an opportunity to apply for radio licenses and also to help them with the technical and legal part of it, because it's pretty difficult to do, letting people know so that some of these radio stations would be community radio stations. When we started this coalition, we had an engineer do a study of where frequencies were available.
That's true. I remember that now. Yeah, you could take a look. So we did find that Iowa did have opportunity.
Yeah. I was living in New York at the time, but because Ames was my hometown, of course, I looked right away to see whether Ames had anything available, and I saw that it would be possible mm-hmm. to apply for frequencies in Ames. And so I was interested in seeing if anybody in Ames would apply. I was having trouble finding somebody. It was a very, very new concept. Most people had no idea what I was talking about. But as part of the work, as part of the coalition, I started a weekly conference call.
Yeah.
People throughout the Midwest who were interested in applying, the folks in Viroqua, Wisconsin, were on the call.
Right.
Somebody from Peoria.
And
folks down in Missouri, Kabul, Missouri.
Yep. You were known as Miss Midwest.
Miss Midwest. Even though I was living in New York and Brooklyn.
Yeah. We all got to know each other week after week as you talk about your problem or the thing you next need to know to do correctly.
So one day this person gets on the calls and he says, I'm Roger Parmenter and I'm going to move to Iowa and build a radio station in Iowa. So I was like, well, what do we have here? So you became my man.
Mm-hmm.
When Roger came here to start this project, he was a newcomer. He came into the community with this ambition to start a project that would serve the community but would require community participation. That must have been a difficult thing for you to do.
Yeah, but you just don't let those things get in your way. You just keep saying, what's my next major problem that I got to get solved? Then with time, it got to be a very big project.
There is a picture of you as our founder in our hallway outside the studio here. And it was taken on the day when they were building the tower site. And just one look at the look on your face in that picture says it all. That is the face of a happy man doing something that he loves doing.
Yeah.
So now you live in Fort Collins again. Are you glad that you did the radio station project?
Sure. I think it's a nice contribution to make. Fundamentally, the things that I wanted to do are done.
I noticed that your license plate in Colorado says KHOI-FM on it. Thank you.
Somebody here needs to get pay the extra bucks for an Iowa license.
You know, once a founder, always a founder.
Yeah, just keep up the good work.
Thank you. Well, thank you.
Well, thanks.
Wow. I learned a lot right there. I didn't know the history at all.
No, you know, I did too. It was a great segment. I really enjoyed hearing it.
So that was Roger Parmenter, technically the person who applied for the permit to have the station.
But I think it's important to note, Ursula, your role in getting not only this station but other stations in the Midwest up and running.
Kay, did you know anything about this?
Well, vaguely, I remember when Roger came to the Unitarian Fellowship and he had a cap on that said Radio Roger on the front. And he was sort of telling that congregation about this idea, and he'd apparently been doing it in other churches and so on. He was a man of, you know, you could see with a mission.
Well, speaking of that, let's hear our next segment soon. Tom, once the idea was conceived, what was the first thing that needed to be done?
Well, you have to apply to the Federal Communications Commission to get permission to start a radio station. That was a lengthy application process. One of the people involved in that process was Susan Franson, who did much of the work at this stage. So let's hear from Susan.
Roger Parmenter called. It had been suggested that I could help him find an organization, a nonprofit that had been in existence for 2 years that would fit the FCC guidelines that could apply for the license. The suggestion was the Unitarian Fellowship. And I know the fellowship very well, and so I said, yeah, I think we'd be able to do that. And basically the board had said, yeah, we wouldn't mind going through whatever is required. We don't want a Unitarian radio station. We'll just help you get started. So that was what it was, and it involved quite a bit of work. This opening was the last time there would be licenses for FM station at full power because the airwaves were too full. And Roger Parmenter was the real mastermind behind all of this. And the reason that we applied from Story City was we figured that somebody else would apply for Ames. And if there, this is a kind of a game we played to maximize our chances. Somewhere along the line, he figured out that if we applied for two licenses, we would have a much better chance of getting one of them, and it wouldn't cost a lot more because we'd already have done all the legal work and the engineering work. And so we did that. We applied for two. With some negotiations that Roger Parmenter did, we were able to get this wonderful pattern that we had. We got the location in Story City was the original approval for that was a very small circle. So we could barely have reached Ames, I think, with that. And then he made a trade with somebody, and when that trade was made, they took one of our two licenses that satisfied them, and we got this wonderful big circle that we have. The other thing I would like to mention about getting started, I mentioned the Unitarian Fellowship, but there were two other churches that helped before we went on the air, and one of them, not so overtly, was the UCC. That was where Roger Parmenter went. Other church that really was very helpful was the First Baptist Church in Campustown. They had a lot of extra space, and they rented us our first studio. We had to, in order to apply, we had to have an actual location for a working studio. And they provided that for us. And they provided also a kind of a break room where we could have meetings in addition to our studio. And they gave us, it was truly nominal rent. It was in the third floor. It couldn't have been a permanent location, but it was for what we needed in the short run. It was just a godsend.
Comments? It sounds like a complicated strategic process, a lot of moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I didn't really know the story of the two frequencies, but we do have a wonderful pattern. It's really remarkable how far we can reach with our signal.
I think one of the things that makes this a little bit understandable is to know that a frequency patterns, in other words, the area, your listening area, don't really exist before you apply for an application. It's your job when you're asking the FCC to have a radio station to make a proposal to them. So asking for a radio station is kind of like making a grant. You say, well, I want to have a radio station, and I can demonstrate that I can put a radio station in a place where it's not going to interfere with anybody else. And this is the pattern that we're going to have in order to do that. And to do that, you have to hire what's called a radio frequency engineer, which is a very specialized profession. There's only a few in the country that do that for community radio. And so that's what was going on here. And also, in order to arbitrate between all the people that wanted frequencies, the FCC had a point system to decide who had the best proposal. And that's why you needed a local organization to show that you were really, you know, a legitimate part of the community that affected your standing with the FCC when they made the decision who to get a license.
I can already see how it took a community to build this community radio station.
Oh, absolutely.
Right, right.
A lot of people getting involved. And I know you got involved about this time too, Kay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't really know what community radio was. And, you know, Roger was a big help in making that clear. But, you know, nobody in the community knew either, so it was our job, and he was great at that, too.
I think some people thought he was operating a scam.
Well,
what does this man want?
Certainly a lot of people thought, this is, you know, this guy's obviously got a mission, but this, you know, this is a one-man show sort of thing. So he was convincing the rest of us. And it did get, you know, there got to be a lot of people who were interested and involved. A lot of them, you know, have left. They were students or they've left town for other reasons. But there were a lot of people who got excited about it. It was an exciting time.
And there are some expenses associated with doing all this. You have to pay the engineer, and you have to pay for a lawyer to make a good application. And Roger Parmenter really was the person who put up that money.
Yeah, he spent a lot of his own money
on
this.
We'll talk about fundraising a little bit later on. I think it's time for another birthday tune here.
All right.
You are listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, Story City and Ames. We got quite a group here today. Today we're celebrating KHOI's birthday, if you can figure that out from that last tune, 3 years of broadcasting. We are sharing stories of how KHOI came to be. We just heard about completing the application to the Federal Communication Commission. The next major step was building a broadcast tower so that the listener can literally pick up the vibes from this room. Paul Nelson, our chief engineer, was responsible for that. Here are thoughts from Paul on this part of the station's history.
Paul, I've been told that you were very helpful in terms of building the broadcast tower. Quickly, what were some of the important steps in that effort?
Roger Parmenter had found the tower. The tower was was owned by American Tower Company. It had never been occupied. It was built for cell phone service, but shortly after it was built, the cell phone industry did some sort of consolidation, and it was no longer needed.
So you didn't have to actually build a tower from scratch then?
We did have to pour concrete pads for the shelter that we had purchased, and we did have to arrange for building permits, electrical work. Then we had to install the transmitter and antenna and get everything operational.
Who were some of the key people that helped you?
Well, Roger Parmenter was involved, of course. He was the person who actually started this radio station. We had a great deal of help from fellow by the name of Tom Voorhees, who is an engineer who has done a number of these sorts of startups. He came along in the last couple of weeks before we had to get on the air. We also had help from Todd Wallen, who comes from WDRT in Viroqua, Wisconsin. He came down in the last week or so to help with that.
Do you have a special last-minute rush story? Seems like a lot happened right at the end.
We had to be on the air by August 16th. If we were not sending out a signal on that day, we would lose our construction permit. We would not have a radio station. Turned the transmitter on for the first time on, I think it was August 7th. We were able to start putting out a proper test signal about 3 days after that. We got our license.
I know you're a modest person, but is there anything you're particularly proud about in terms of building that tower?
One is selecting the right parts. We had quite a bit of discussion about what antenna to buy, how we could make it work, what coax to run down the tower, and what transmitter to put inside the shelter. And I have to say it was a group decision, but I felt particularly good about the components we selected, and I think that's been proven.
Thank you. And thank you for helping to build the tower.
Thank you. You're one of the volunteers that helps make this possible. And without you and others like you, there also wouldn't be a KHOI.
Well, today we're hearing stories about the building of KHOI Radio Station, and we're celebrating the third birthday of the station. So far, we've heard about the application process and building the broadcast tower. Next, we need to hear about the flash drive crew. What was the flash drive crew, and what did they do?
Well, essentially, there's two main places that a radio station operates out of. One is the studio, which is where we are down here on Douglas Avenue at the Ames Pantorium, which is what you would call the studio. But in order to get out to the listening area, you have to broadcast from a radio tower site, and that's our tower site out in Story City. At the tower site is the transmitter, which is the machine that essentially pumps the sound out. And when we started out, we didn't have a way of getting sound from our studio here through electromagnetic airwaves to the tower site, and so we literally physically had to drive the sound out in a flash drive and put it in. We had an elaborate schedule at the station where we would get everything produced in time, and then we organized a team that would go out, put all the sound on a flash drive, and then inject it into a computer, which was running
in all weathers going out.
Right, and the computer would run the transmitter and tell it what to play. And the members of the flash drive was a group of people who volunteered to do this on a regular basis, and there were a number of people. There was, and you'll hear from some of them on this segment, but not all of them, so I'm going to list all the names of the people because these are like the Pony Express. This was the equivalent of the Pony Express. There was Jake Dickey, Elliot Thompson, Ron Latson, Cynthia McClure, Jerry Lamza, myself, and Rick Morrison, a rugged crew. And this is what some of them had to say.
Hi, my name is Ron Latson.
This is Cynthia McClure, and I'm here with Rick Morrison.
Let me give you a little bit of history of the KHOI flash drive crew, the dedicated group of individuals who collected and loaded all of our daily programming on a flash drive and deliver our programming.
This was before we had our studio to transmitter link.
Yeah.
And so we required
daily upload.
Twice a day.
To the tower. In order to load up the music and the stories when we first started KHOI, I never went up to the tower without Rick. You had to have somebody that knew how to do that, and I didn't know how to do that, and Rick didn't have a car to drive. So we, as a team, would go up there to the tower. I was the driver of Rick, And it was kind of interesting to do that because we got to see Iowa in the four seasons, literally.
Through rain, sleet, snow, busy highway, and cornfield.
When the corn is 10 feet tall, you have to slow down and be very careful about harvesters coming through. But I wouldn't slow down. And I said, Rick, I know there's nobody there because I don't see any dust. So I would just plow on through these crossroads and go, you know, there's dust behind me. And he would get excited to see the tower because he loves radio so much that that tower has become an extension of him in a lot of ways.
Radio has always been in my blood since I was a young kid. I've always been fascinated by the mystery of the invisible airwaves and plus the tower site.
Yeah. Remember that time we were at the tower and that farmer after harvest? We were going up to the tower and unlocking the gate, and he walks up to us asking us what we're about because he was renting the property.
I remember that, yeah.
And there was a sense of ownership of like, what are you doing here? What shenanigans are you up to messing with that tower?
I have to wonder, I mean, there's like one house right near the transmitter site, and I have to wonder what they're thinking. Like, why is so many cars going daily to this transmitter site? I mean, what's the deal? But we had to do it. We had to do it at the time.
If the ducks didn't line up in a row, if we forgot something or if it was uploaded wrong or something got messed up, we had to redo it. A lot of details.
No matter what, if it was like bad weather or whatever, if possible, we can go up there. And there's some actually pretty interesting adventures that I've experienced.
You and Ursula got stuck in the snow.
In the snow.
Yeah. It's amazing. The thing that people didn't understand and I didn't know what I was signing up for, actually, when I started doing this, is that there's a lot of things behind the scenes that people don't see.
Yes, the KHOI Flash Drive crew, and a crew that I can say that I had a great time being a member of.
It was a lot of fun.
Just
everybody
examples.
Involved has had to learn how to do this. It's the thing that I think KHOI is doing really well when you get here, is that we are building that community, and that takes time. Because we are all still learning. And, you know, the cool thing is you can become part of this too.
KHOI Radio gives you a very unique opportunity to get training to do production. It's very cool to see you and other people just grow and just, you know, master.
There's a lot of things that go on that you never get to see. And here at the radio station, there one of those was the flash drive crew. Thank you, Rick.
Yeah, thank you, Cynthia.
Well, I remember one time when Rick had to, or maybe more than once, Rick would actually ride his bicycle those several miles up to the station to deliver the pre-recorded programming. What a glorious day when we had a direct studio to tower link established. And as we are doing here now, we're able to broadcast live. Well, we're celebrating a birthday today, the third year on the air, and we've been hearing some happy birthday music, and I think we're ready to hear a little more.
Happy birthday, sweet, sweet baby. I hope you read your storybook. Yeah, next morning, you're one day older. One more day, till you hold it up.
I want to say thanks to Rick Morrison for finding all these fantastic birthday songs. This is KHOI Radio, 89.1 FM, serving Ames and Story City, and you're listening to Local Talk. I am Jim Werbel. I am the I'm here with co-host Tom Beal. Today we're celebrating KHOI's third birthday and hearing about some of the people who worked to get the station on the air. I'm enjoying the stories.
I am indeed, too. KHOI will be hosting a public birthday party at La Tosca on Main Street on Sunday, August 23rd at 4:30 p.m. The party is open to the public, and we look forward to seeing you there. This will be, there will be free hors d'oeuvres, a cash bar, music by Calais Sir, and just a great time. Donations for the radio station, of course, will be greatly appreciated.
So far, we've talked about the application process to get a permit to build the radio tower, building the actual tower, using the flash drive crew to transfer stories to the tower so there could be a broadcast. What happened next, Tom?
Well, a lot of these things overlap, but finally, we needed this lovely studio. If you've never seen our actual studio where we now broadcast from, you should stop by the station at 410 Douglas and Ames to have a look. It is a beautiful and well-equipped studio. Joe Lynch was critical in developing this building and our studio, and Joe is here, and we'd like to have you talk about the challenges you face in constructing a radio studio.
Nice to see you all this morning. There were many challenges. I can think of dozens, but I have to choose only one or two here this morning. By the way, in the studio, we have this beautiful quilt that everybody should remember. One of my most vivid memories is the day we had the Indian entourage, the Native American entourage, come in and bless the studios when we first turned it on. That was pretty
darn. I don't know of many radio stations
that, was pretty
that
darn
have been
exciting.
Blessed by our Native American friends.
And it was really quite an experience.
It was.
Back to the studio itself. Many people contributed to the process. The first part that I think of is struggling to figure out a floor plan. We had many opinions, and we went around and around and around on that for what seemed like decades. We did finally have some assistance with that from Integrity Construction here in town. They loaned us their architect for a short time, and he finally solved the problem that we'd been struggling with, which was how to turn the limited space we have in the back room into useful studio space.
So I wonder if we couldn't just remind our listeners that we are located in what it was a classic, kind of a historic building, the Panatorium dry cleaning building. And when we got here, it was an industrial space, pretty kind of scrungy, and we had to somehow make this facility a radio station.
That's right. And for the first 2 years or so, we had people stop by with their dry cleaning.
We did indeed.
For their dry cleaning.
As I have said before, we have the cleanest broadcasting in Central Iowa.
Yes, indeed. Well, there is the floor plan. If I had to choose two other things, does anybody know what a 5/8-inch thick 10-foot by 4-foot piece of sheetrock weighs? Weighs imagine. Almost as much as I do, okay?
Yeah, and it's huge and unwieldy.
Huge and unwieldy. One of the most telling religious experiences of my life is when I discovered what a sheetrock lift is, okay? And that we had a friend, a supporter of the station, two blocks from the station that had one, okay? I was down on my knees, okay? In joy, over the fact that I discovered what a sheetrock lift was and how to use it, because these sheets weigh 90 pounds apiece. There are two thicknesses of 5/8 rock on every surface in all three studios.
And Joe, I think it's important to note, too, that we are on a busy alley.
That's right.
Lots of noisy trucks and things. How do we build this thing so that we can be soundproof?
That was the fundamental question. And with little experience to draw on, we've succeeded, and I'm really stunned. I'll share with Ursula, she and I argued for a month over the size of this soundproof window. First of all, I know nothing about soundproof windows, okay? I had no confidence that they would work, so my goal was to keep the window as small as possible. Ursula's goal was to make the window as big as possible because she knew the PR value of that, okay? And we went around and around and around.
I remember that well.
That's
right. I was big on the big window, too, knowing nothing about the technical difficulties.
So I lost. We have a big window, and it works great. To this day, I still can hardly believe it.
See the studio from the street. As you drive by, you can look in and see the broadcasting underway. It's really great. It's almost like the big New York NBC studio on that busy street.
I've been told that this is one of the nicest broadcast studios that a lot of people have ever been to.
Community radios.
Yeah. Even private.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. Well, it is gorgeous, and dozens of different people worked on it in one way or another. We have soundproofing galore. We have handmade countertops.
Beautiful desks.
With beautiful.
And we have a unique lighting system.
That's right, we do.
And I have to add the sort of aesthetic sense. We have to thank Ursula for that. The colors. I mean, she's an artist by training, a painter, and it's just wonderful. I get great pleasure from the colors and the sort of aesthetic sense around here.
But the process was a lot of fun, and we ended up where we wanted to be, which is a well-functioning studio. The only last part I wanted to comment on, does anybody know what solid core doors weigh? They weigh a lot, okay? We practically stole a couple from the historical society gave us gave us three doors, and we didn't have frames for them. We got the frames from the Habitat Humanity, and we had to figure out how to match them together. But we succeeded.
Well,
here we are.
I keep telling people, Joe, you were so instrumental in building this facility, that building a radio studio is not like building a garage.
No.
It's a unique experience. And you mentioned the big windows. There are two pieces of glass that they're not parallel.
No.
They're at an angle for sound purposes.
That's right.
And just to be able to put those in and get them to fit and be soundproof is a remarkable piece of work.
And the woodwork's gorgeous. Thank
and
you,
And the
Joe.
Beautiful woodwork. Yeah.
Thank you, Joe.
Fritz Franzen is responsible for the table that we sit at.
It's a beautiful table.
Well, building the broadcast tower and the actual studio were major undertakings, and I understand that you received several substantial donations, many of them anonymous, from community members to help with those. But fundraising is an ongoing endeavor. KHOI has been working from the start and continues to emphasize this. What are the current fundraising efforts to keep KHOI on the air, Joe?
Well, we've began our 500 Families campaign here almost 2 years ago. 500 families contributing $20 a month or the equivalent of $250 a year will keep us on the air. And that was kind of the way we asked people to think about what we're doing. 500 families in our listening areas is not an impossible thing. And so that's one way we ask people to contribute to what we're doing.
But we're also asking individuals who may not be able to do that at the moment to become members at $55
a year. Sure, of course.
And we've had really wonderful turnout. I think people are beginning to realize this is a local radio station. We don't have advertising.
That's right.
We depend on our listeners to keep the station going. And it's a wonderful thing because radio has become so national and consolidated and with a lot of the programming originating in other places. And here we are right here in Central Iowa generating original programming with local people.
That's right. I think the word is independent. That's the word we like to use to indicate what we're up to.
So ultimately, it's the decision of the community as to whether the station can continue, because it's really the community that is sustaining the station and, in a sense, lets all these folks know whether they should continue doing or not. And we really hope that we'll all be here in the next 10 years, and we'll be celebrating our 10th year anniversary in 7 years, and with the full support of the community.
That's right. We're at a point now where we need to become sustainable financially, and that's the next big hurdle we need to get over.
Yeah, you know, the first phase was applying for the license. Second phase was building the tower and the studio, and now we're in the phase of building a financial foundation to sustain the station, and we're kind of right in the middle of that. That's not a given yet. We don't feel that is a complete process yet, and we're really turning to the community to answer that question. Can we build a sustaining foundation for this really, you know, great community endeavor?
It is a great community endeavor. We've proven that we attract this creative, mass people that storm into this place. wanting to express themselves via radio. And it's been
happy birthday to you.
We've made it through 3 years.
We're always going to celebrate. We'll keep going until the night is done. Blow out candles on the cake and make a wish. It will serve everybody's favorite dish.
And we're celebrating, and that's why we're going to hear another happy birthday song.
So if you aren't getting a hint yet, yes, we do need your donations. We want you to join the station. Please do.
Gather around the piano. We'll harmonize a few. Sweet Adeline, dear pal of mine, we'll sing the whole night through. If someone thinks we're too noisy and knocks up on the door, invite them in and then begin. One voice louder, one voice louder, one voice louder than before. Happy birthday, happy, happy birthday. This is your day to have a lot of fun.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, happy, happy birthday. It's your party, but we have all the fun.
This has been an amazing journey for me and KHOI Radio. We've heard some remarkable stories so far today. So many volunteers with the belief that if we build it, they will come, just like in the Field of Dreams. We want to hear more about the KHOI birthday party, which will be on Sunday, August 23rd. Put that on your calendars. We have a message from Bob Anders, who is organizing this event.
Jim, good to see you today at KHOI.
Well, good to see you again. I hear that you're planning a birthday celebration for KHOI.
That's absolutely true, Jim. On August 23rd, we are celebrating the third anniversary of KHOI. The purpose of this event is to celebrate the fact that KHOI has been broadcasting for 3 years here in Ames, Iowa. We're breaking down the event into two segments. At 3 p.m., at the United Methodist Church in downtown Ames, Nicholas Johnson is going to give a talk. Nicholas Johnson is an FCC commissioner, and he was one of the primary movers for public radio and public television. And he was stationed in Washington, D.C., and he devoted his career to initiating and defining public broadcasting. And that's what we do here at KHOI. We are a community-based radio station. And then after Mr. Johnson's talk at 3 o'clock, we're going to convene at the Bar La Tosca, which is right on Main Street in downtown Ames. And this is going to be in the about 4:30 range, and we're going to have a reception where you can meet and talk to Nicholas and meet and talk with radio personalities of KHOI Radio. So what this event is going to do, it's going to give you an opportunity to meet a person who is a major player nationally in radio, public television, and also give you a chance to meet and talk with the people who bring KHOI Radio to your home.
And will food be served as well?
Yes. The event at Bar La Tosca, there will be hors d'oeuvres. There will be a cash bar. But essentially, there will be some food served. Bar La Tosca is a venue that's right next to a small pocket park on Main Street. So if there's more people than can get into the building, we'll spill out into the park.
So you hope to have a good crowd and a group of people to celebrate having community radio in Ames.
Yes, we're going to celebrate having community radio in Ames for 3 continuous years.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jim.
Well, in addition to free hors d'oeuvres and a cash bar, we will have live music by Kalish Sir. We have a recording of that group to give you a taste of this event.
Awesome dance music. I'll be there dancing with whoever wants to dance with me. It'll be wonderful, even with my broken wrist. Well, that's all we have time for today. I'm Jim Werbel. My co-host in the show was Tom Beal. Our show today was about the history of KHOI Radio and the contributions of those who gave birth to KHOI, your community radio station. It's been an amazing ride, and it's still going strong. We want to thank all of our storytellers. Our in-guest studios were Ursula Rudenberg, Kay Puttick, Joe Lynch. We also heard from Roger Parmenter, Susan Franzen, Paul Nelson, Bob Anders, and some members of the Flash Drive crew. I really learned a lot about the history of the radio station. I think that was one of my major objectives, and I learned a lot. It was really a good story.
Jim, why did you get involved?
I retired, and I wanted some things to do, and there's some shows that I wanted to do in local talk, and I think anybody can get involved who has an interest. There's a room for everybody, whether you're on the technical side, someone like Jonah who recently joined us. We'll talk about Jonah in just a bit, or somebody interested in public relations or actually having your voice on the radio.
Well, it's great to have you with us.
Well, I hope that you'll put this date on your calendar, Sunday, August 23rd, 3 p.m. Distinguished radio person and former FCC member Nicholas Johnson will be speaking about the future of radio at the First United Methodist Church on Kellogg Street here in downtown Ames. And this will be followed by a reception and party for KHOI's third broadcast birthday party at 4:30 p.m. at Bar La Tosca on Main Street in Ames. Everyone is welcome, so we hope to see you at both of these events. As always, donations to the station are appreciated.
The songs we heard on today's show were variations of the Happy Birthday song that was credit,
credited to two women, Patty and Mildred Hill. Variations of that song were sung by Joe Simon, Steppenwolf, and the Sons of the Pioneers. Our theme song is Backtracking by Tom Richards and Al Harris from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Local Talk was engineered today by Jonah DeGeest. Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you enjoyed this show, tell your friends and tell them about our birthday party. Check us on Facebook. You can also listen to the show and listen to all of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. That is khoifm.org. Your participation as an audience and your general donations make KHOI possible. And don't forget to join us again, the third birthday, two events, one at 3, one at 4:30 on August 23rd. For more information, please check our KHOI website. Thanks again for listening, and see you again on the radio, everybody.